From the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, this is NIH Research Radio. Welcome to episode 33 of NIH Research Radio, with news about the ongoing medical research at the National Institutes of Health, the nation's medical research agency. I'm your host, Bill Schmalfeld. Coming up on this edition, we'll delve into the archives and bring you some stories you may have missed if you've just recently discovered this podcast. This time, four stories from 2 years ago, 2005. Some advice on how to beat the heat from the National Institute on Aging. Wally Akinso filed a report in August 2005 about survey results that show a lack of physical activity is playing a key role in teenage girls gaining weight. Also from that month, a study that showed teen drivers are more likely to exhibit unsafe driving behaviors when there's another teen as a passenger in the vehicle. But first, from July 2005, a report about how the National Kidney Disease Education Program urges families, especially African American families, to use summertime reunions to spread the word about kidney disease. That's next on this special archives edition of NIH Research Radio.
Where will you find the future of science? Right here, with us.
The students of today are the scientists of tomorrow. Will we be ready?
We are the future doctors, nurses, lab technicians, and scientists. We are the future of science.
Support science education in your local schools. The scientists of tomorrow need your support today.
Brought to you by the National Institutes of Health, an agency of the United States Department of Health and Human Services. In July 2005, I filed this report on the NIH Radio News Service website on how family get-togethers in the summertime present a great opportunity to discuss family health history. Even though this report is nearly 2 years old, it's still a good idea. For a lot of families, summer means family reunions. The National Kidney Disease Education Program wants families, especially African American families, to use these reunions to spread the word about kidney disease. Dr. Thomas Hostetter is director of the NKDEP, part of the National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases.
Well, our overall goal is to reduce chronic kidney failure. African Americans have a lot more kidney failure than the other segments of the U.S. population. In fact, African Americans have about a 4 times increased risk of developing kidney failure compared to the white population.
So how to bring up the subject of kidney disease at a family reunion?
We have some discussion points that the family could use, much like you find now in the back of books, if you want to discuss it at your book club. We have that as part of this package, which can be downloaded from our website.
The website is nkdep.nih.gov/family reunion. From the National Institutes of Health, I'm Bill Schmalfeld in Bethesda, Maryland. Summertime is a time to be active, but all too many young people think being active is something that's done in front of a TV screen with a video game controller in hand. In August 2005, Wally Akinso filed this report on the NIH Radio News Service webpage with some advice for teen girls.
A lack of physical activity is playing a key role in teenage girls gaining weight. According to results from the Health and Growth Study, which was funded by the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, teenage girls who were inactive gained an average of 10 to 15 pounds more than active girls, according to Dr. Eva Obarzanic, an NHLBI research nutritionist.
When they divided the girls into 3 levels of activity, those that were active, those that were very inactive, and those in between, the difference in weight gain over that 9-year follow-up was quite substantial. So a little bit more for the black girls at 15 pounds, and a little bit less for the white girls at 10 pounds. So there was a very large difference in weight between the active and inactive girls by the time they were ages 18 and 19.
Dr. Obarzanic feels an increase in brisk walks and other kinds of activities can stabilize this problem.
What we need to do is to somehow prevent the decline in physical activity that occurs with girls. The best way to do that is really schools should have a very strong role. They should provide physical ed daily so that girls should be active during their PE class. Schools should also provide non-competitive physical activity opportunities. Keep the gyms open after school, keep the schoolyards open after school, and provide opportunities. And families can also help by engaging in physical activity together. Good for the adults also. Instead of sitting around watching TV, the whole family can go out for a walk.
The NHLBI has recently launched an obesity prevention program known as We Can, which stands for Ways to Enhance Children's Activity and Nutrition. Dr. Obarzanic believes this program encourages parents and children to adopt a healthier style of living. For more information, visit wecan.nhlbi.nih.gov. This is Wale Kenzo at the National Institutes of Health, Bethesda, Maryland.
We're just weeks away from the official start of summer, and this advice on how to beat the heat is just as good today as it was when I first filed this report on the NIH Radio News Service website in July 2005. It's something folks are saying all over the country.
It's too, too, too darn hot. It's too darn hot.
And there's much more summer to come. That means much more suffering for older people who have more trouble dealing with the heat than their younger counterparts. Fortunately, this summer can remain safe and enjoyable for everyone who uses good sound judgment and learns about preventative measures like those described in the National Institute on Aging's hyperthermia web topic. Hyperthermia is the general name given to a variety of heat-related illnesses. Symptoms may include headache, nausea, muscle spasms, and fatigue after exposure to heat. There are things you should do if you suspect someone is suffering from a heat-related illness. Get the victim out of the sun and into a cool place, preferably one that's air-conditioned. Offer fluids, but avoid alcohol and caffeine. Encourage the victim to shower or bathe or sponge off with cool water, then lie down and rest in a cool place. Heat stroke is especially dangerous for older people and requires emergency medical attention. A person with heat stroke has a body temperature above 104 degrees and may have symptoms such as confusion, combativeness, bizarre behavior, faintness, staggering, strong rapid pulse, dry, flushed skin, lack of sweating, and possible delirium or even coma. For more info about hyperthermia, log on to nia.nih.gov and search the keyword heat. And while it's true there are plenty of hot days ahead this summer, try to keep it in perspective. In 6 months, we'll all have something else to complain about.
Ooh, baby, it's cold outside.
From the National Institutes of Health, I'm Bill Schmalfeld in Bethesda, Maryland. When we come back, a final story from August 2005 that should give parents with young drivers in the family something to think about. That's next on NIH Research Radio. Aristotle had this problem, so did Thomas Jefferson, and they went on to do great things. If you stutter, you could do something great too by participating in a National Institutes of Health stuttering study. Participants will be compensated, travel assistance is available, and all study-related tests are provided at no cost. Call 866-999-5553 or visit clinicaltrials.gov. Do something great. The NIH is a nonprofit government agency of the Department of Health and Human Services. It's one of those things that when you hear about it, you almost want to say, tell me something I don't know.
Well, it's long been suspected that teens drive in a more risky manner than adults, but there's actually no data to show that, only the anecdotal data of every parent of a teenage driver.
That was Dr. Bruce Simons-Morton, chief of the Prevention Research Branch at the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development, with news that comes as no surprise to any parent of teens who pays the monthly auto insurance bill. But now there is some data that indicates teen drivers are more likely to engage in risky driving when they have another teen in the car with them. The study showed that teen drivers, both male and female, were more likely to tailgate and exceed the speed limit if there was a teenage male passenger in the front seat. Also, female teens were slightly more likely to tailgate if there was a female teen passenger in the vehicle. On the other hand, male teens were less likely to tailgate or exceed the speed limit when a teen female was in the front passenger seat. Still, crash rates were higher for 16 and 17-year-old drivers in the presence of teen passengers. The study didn't determine why teens engage in these behaviors. Dr. Simons-Morton says they're getting to that part.
In future research, we plan to examine in a great deal more detail what's going on inside the vehicle. We plan to have instrumented vehicles following volunteers for up to 18 months to see exactly how driving behavior among novice teen drivers changes in the presence of passengers and under various driving conditions, which to tell us really a lot about teen driving risk.
So, what can parents and policymakers take away from this study?
The most important thing that a parent of a teen can do is limit the driving conditions of their novice teen driver. The two most important driving conditions that are related to crashes are nighttime driving and with teen passengers. Each teen passenger increases the risk of a crash. In terms of policy, most states have adopted graduated driver licensing policies, which do place limits at least on late-night driving, but they tend not to be that strict. A few states have adopted restrictions on teen passengers, and I think we're going to see that more and more.
You can see more information on these statistics by logging on to www.nichd.nih.gov. From the National Institutes of Health, I'm Bill Schmalfelt in Bethesda, Maryland. And with that, we come to the end of this episode of NIH Research Radio. Please join us Friday, June 15th, when episode 34 of NIH Research Radio will be available for download. These stories are also available on the NIH Radio News Service website, www.nih.gov/news/radio. Our daily 60-second feature, NIH Health Matters, is heard on radio stations nationwide, as well as on XM Satellite Radio, the HealthStar Radio Network, and online at www.federalnewsradio.com. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please feel free to contact me. The info is right there on the podcast webpage. That email address is ws159h@nih.gov. Once again, that email address, ws159h@nih.gov. I'm your host, Bill Schmalfelt. NIH Research Radio is a presentation of the NIH Radio News Service, part of the News Media Branch, Office of Communications and Public Liaison, in the Office of the Director at the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, an agency of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.